More delays for a European debt solution, and it means more uncertainty as world leaders meet in France.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Leaders from the Group of 20 leading economies are meeting today in France. Greece's finance minister was there for a short time, but was called back to Athens for an emergency meeting with his prime minister, reportedly to talk more about a referendum scheduled in Greece to accept or decline European help for its debt crisis. President Obama is in France, in Cannes, and in talks with the French president Nicolas Sarkozy today, the president said Europe needs to do more.
Here at the G20, we're going to have to flesh out more of the details about how the plan will be fully and decisively implemented.
The G20 summit, of course, was supposed to be the deadline for some sort of solution to Europe's debt mess, but the deadline has slipped once again, leaving more uncertainty in the world marketplace. And our Europe correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us live with the latest now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Why do these deadlines keep slipping?
Well, by now we shouldn't be too surprised, I suppose. The Europeans have held 14 summits to solve the crisis since it began. The new deadline is December 4th. That's the date when the Greek Prime Minister says he'll hold his referendum on Greece's second bailout package. And, Steve, this does actually look like the deadline now because money talks. Germany and France told Papandreou in Cannes yesterday, you don't get any more bailout cash unless you get the backing of the Greek people. So December 4th, if the Greeks vote no, they'll likely default and possibly crash out of the eurozone with unpredictable consequences for the global economy.
December 4th, though, is still a month away, Stephen. Can the global economy wait that long?
Well, perhaps not. Steve Barrow, currency strategist with Standard Bank, says contagion, that is the problem spreading, contagion is already upon us.
Even if Greece can sort itself out, other countries now are really being dragged into the crisis to an extent that is almost looking beyond repair.
Italy is the real worry now. The cost of borrowing there has just gone up again. The Italian government has just failed to get a package of economic reforms through Parliament. And the Chinese have just said they're not putting any more money into the Eurozone bailout fund until the dust settles. So the deadline for this crisis may not be December the 4th after all. It may be a lot sooner.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard, our European correspondent, reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Shares are mostly lower overseas right now. European shares in Germany off about 0.25%, in France about 0.25% as well. The FTSE is flat in London at the moment. Asian markets were down today about 1% or more. France's biggest bank, BNP Paribas, said today its earnings were off by 72%. But that is because of a big write-down of Greek, Italian, and Spanish sovereign debt exposure in the third quarter. The Dutch bank, ING, said it's going to cut at least 2,700 jobs at its operations center in the Netherlands. U.S. stocks yesterday, markets did rise finally, ending a string of losses. The Dow tacked on about 178 points. That was more than 1.5% to close at 11,836.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances, November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
Police and protesters clashed on the streets of Oakland, California early this morning, just hours after thousands in the Occupy Oakland movement overtook the port there, which just happens to be one of the nation's biggest. Andrew Stelzer is a freelance reporter who's been covering the protests in Oakland, and he's with us now on the phone. Hey, Andrew.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing well. Why did these protesters target the port?
Well, I think there were two reasons. The big reason is just to show their strength, to show that they're capable of shutting down a major piece of the economic system. That's the economic system that the Occupy Wall Street protests have been saying are unjust. So Oakland happens to be the location of the fifth largest port in the United States, major economic engine. So one of the reasons was just to show that, we can and kind of take a next step for the movement. Also, they're doing it in solidarity with some of the longshoremen in Washington state who've been going through a labor dispute. So in solidarity with them.
I know just in the last few hours, Andrew, police have reportedly fired tear gas at protesters. We've heard even of some injuries. What's the latest there now?
Well, I was just in downtown Oakland less than an hour ago. The protesters tried to reclaim a building, which I believe was abandoned, perhaps foreclosed on by a bank, which was around the corner from the Occupy location. And there were also a small group of protesters that set some fire to dumpsters in the middle of the street. I haven't spoken to the police, but from what I understand, they came to both put out the fire and also evict the protesters who had taken over the foreclosed building. Throughout the day, there were also some other windows smashed. I would say 95% of the protesters who are yelling peaceful protest when there is a small group of protesters that have been smashing a few windows or setting fires. I even saw people with fire extinguishers trying to put out the fires, and then a few protesters who happen to be wearing black with the black masks grabbing the people with fire extinguishers and stopping them from putting out the fires.
Andrew Steltzer, freelance reporter in Oakland. Andrew, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Finally, Amazon.com is starting up a new digital book lending library available to Amazon Prime members with Kindle e-readers. The program starts off with 5,000 titles, one checkout at a time, once a month for $79 a year, which leads me to ask one important question. Where's the public library again? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Nepotism, corruption, cronyism, all in a day's work for big business in Syria.
I love Syria. I love the president. I love everything he do. Like, he give us a lot of promises and he achieve a lot of targets.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Syria, where being pro-government is good for the bottom line. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.